This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been discussing a series of news items in this first hour. In just a few minutes, I'm going to introduce John Eidsmo. John Eidsmo of Institute in the Constitution, who has, I'm sure, a lot of things to share with us in regard to the Constitution of the United States and what the departures are from that Constitution on the part of an American empire that seems to be running wild and not particularly well right now. Before I introduce John, I have another caller, Greg in Kansas. You're on the line for Mark Dancos. Go ahead, Greg.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The first comment I like to make is the states created all the branches of government. It's up to the state legislators to get the reverse the Federal Reserve Act that was created December 13, 1913, December 23rd. Another comment I'd like to make... And I'm going to quote the Congressional Record of 1969. Wars under whatever name which do not reduce the political power of an officially named enemy of the American people and which do not increase the political power of the United States must in the end reduce the political power of the United States and thus serve as secret objectives of a concealed enemy. Colonel Archibald E. Roberts, Congressional Record E7874, 26th of September, 1969. We have to reverse the Federal Reserve Act and back our money with gold in order to solve the problem. And I'll listen for your response.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for calling. We have John Eidsmo on the line. John, how are you, sir?
Just fine, Mark, and good to be on your program.
Are you still living in Alabama?
I sure am. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted to read a little bit of your biography for the listeners, many of whom already know you. John Eidsmo, of course, has created something entitled the Institute in the Constitution. He's a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force Reserve. He holds degrees in theology, law, and political science. He's a frequent lecturer and debater at colleges and universities, as well as churches and civic groups. He's the author of 10 books, as of the last time I counted, including Christianity and the Constitution, God and Caesar, and Columbus and Cortez. He's a constitutional attorney. Lives in rural Alabama near Montgomery. Are you still a professor of constitutional law at Thomas Good Jones School of Law?
I am professor emeritus, no, but I'm serving as senior staff attorney at the Alabama Supreme Court, and I'm serving as an adjunct professor for the Oak Brook College of Law, just teaching one course.
Yes, and you are a Lutheran clergyman, are you not?
That is correct, Association of Free Lutheran Congregations.
Yes, I know the AFLC well, and once spoke at an AFLC church on a guest basis in DeKalb, Illinois, a number of years ago. I'm a Lutheran pastor as well in a different synod, but a conservative synod like yours, John. Tell us in regard to the Constitution of the United States. I mean, I have seen personally your 12-part presentation on the Constitution of the United States. It's an absolutely incredible series, and I return to it from time to time in regard to brushing up on something as a non-constitutional expert. Where do you think we are headed as a country in terms of our disregard for our own Constitution? And is there a remedy for all of this, or is it too late?
Where we are headed, I don't have a crystal ball, and I wouldn't use it if I did, of course, but I would say that once we have departed from the idea that the words of the Constitution mean what they say and mean what the framers intended, then we've really lost an anchor. And not only lost an anchor, but to mix the metaphor just a little bit, lost a rudder as well, and so we're drifting. And I think that the direction we're drifting is in the direction of absolute government. The idea, in fact, I just heard one of your callers just make the observation that the states created the federal government, which is 100% correct. They gave the federal government only certain limited delegated powers, and any powers that the federal government does not have...
We'll be back.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in 5 countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. It's fun to browse while you're thinking about being prepared. Go to survivalcenter.com or call 360-458-6778. That's 360-458-6778. Survival Center.
Back. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is John Eitzmo, who has something called the Institute of the Constitution. I happen to possess this series, and it's a marvelous series, which deals with the Constitution of the United States and its historical context, and how that context and document differ greatly from the direction that we seem to be traveling in, not as a republic, but as an empire in my lifetime. John, go ahead, sir.
Well, you asked also how we can get back. I think the answer to this is simply that the battle has been re-waged on so many fronts. It's a philosophical issue, a question of the nature of absolute truth. It's a religious issue, whether we have the spiritual and moral fiber to really function as free people. It's a political issue, certainly. It's a legal issue. I guess where I've decided I can make the greatest difference, and your listeners might consider this, is by trying to create a core of constitutionalists, people who understand the Constitution, who understand what limits it places on government, particularly the federal government, and who will refuse to vote or support for anybody who violates those limits, and creating a public that is aware of the Constitution and what it means, I kind of decided that's the area where I think I can make the greatest impact, and your listeners might consider doing something similar.
Well, you know, that's to me, John, been something that has been so fascinating as I have followed your career from afar for a number of years now, and that is that many of us, and that includes me, may have taken a cursory look at the American Constitution when we were in grade school or junior high school or high school. I question whether or not the thing is even being read at all in many of our public schools now. But as I began as an activist many years ago, a conservative activist in the Republican Party, wondering how things had gone as far afield as I believed that they had gone from what our country was supposed to be. And as I woke up one day after years of Reagan and years of Bush to a country that possesses so many of the problems that we now possess, I found myself wanting to get back to basics, and your concept to me is absolutely just a revolutionary concept to me, and that is that you basically take the Constitution of the United States and its history and its theological and ideological context and find or develop cores of people that you can expose to this information in very carefully crafted educational settings in order that you can move people back to a point to where they not only understand that there's a problem, but they understand specifically what the problem is and have the, as it were, the philosophical and educational basis then in the Constitution of this country and its history to begin addressing the difficulties.
Well, that's exactly what we were hoping to do when we created this institute about 10 years ago. What the Institute is, it's a series of 12 one-half-hour lectures with questions and answers that is on audio cassette, video cassette, CD, and DVD. It's on any one of those four formats with a study guide, and people are buying those to listen to them or watch them themselves, and then there are classes being conducted in various parts of the country where any individual who wants can simply set up a class in his living room or invite some people to come and view maybe one or two each night for a period of 6 or 12 weeks. And this is being done all over the country right now. And, Mark, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we are in the process of creating the Advanced Institute in the Constitution. This will also be 12 one-half-hour lectures. It's not a substitute for this. It's a supplement to it for those who've gone through it and want more. There we'll be doing more with some of the issues like the history of the development of the English common law and its effect in America. We'll be talking about the incorporation doctrine, that is the doctrine that the Bill of Rights now applies to the federal government and states both, whereas originally it just applied to the states, and why this is an incorrect understanding of our Constitution, and the doctrine of interposition, that is the right and duty of lesser governmental officials like state officials to place themselves between the people who elected them and the higher officials, the federal, when the higher officials are departing from the law of God and from their legitimate authority. We'll be going through these things, and this we're hoping to have available, I guess, hoping maybe by this summer.
Well, that should be absolute dynamite, because I know how much I profited by just going through the foundational 12-part series. I can't imagine the job that you guys will do with the advanced series, because once again, you know, for me, when I first started getting into this and going through each of those 12 parts, I kept coming back to this whole theme of how far we had departed from a basic understanding of the Constitution of this country and a basic understanding of both revealed and natural law. Now, you know, one of the things you talk about, John, in this institute is a biblical view of history, law, and government. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, the view of history that a lot of people have is that it's just nothing but a group of random facts that really mean nothing and have little connection with one another. And how you look at history is going to depend in part on your worldview. If you are a nihilist, that is, you believe there is no absolute truth and no meaning to history, then that's all you're going to think it is. If you're a Marxist, and probably don't have too strong a Marxist contingent listening to your broadcast, Mark, but who knows, but if you're a Marxist, you'll see history in terms of the class struggle. If you are an environmental determinist, then it's simply an evolutionary process. But As Christians, we view history as the unfolding of God's plan. And God had a plan. God created man. Man fell. And history from that point on consists of redemption, not just of the individual through the shed blood of Christ on the cross, but redemption of institutions as well. And so looking at history as though it really has a purpose, as though it is literally his story, gives some meaning to it and makes it more interesting.
To what extent, John, do you think the biblical anthropology of sin, the idea that subsequent to the fall of Adam and Eve, that all men and women are born with a condition known as original sin, to what extent do you think that foundational biblical idea has carried over into certain doctrines in the Constitution of the United States?
A great deal. In fact, in the Federalist Papers, this is that series of essays that James Madison and Alexander Hamilton and John Jay wrote to encourage people to vote to adopt the Constitution or ratify it. But in Federalist number 51, James Madison makes an interesting statement. And I think it's important to observe that Madison had attended the College of New Jersey, which is now known as Princeton. It was a Presbyterian school. He studied there under the Reverend Witherspoon. And he had stayed a semester after graduation to study Hebrew and to read the Old Testament laws in the original language. And Madison states in the Federalist Papers about the need to limit government power and concerns about the abuse of power at the hands of fallen people. But then he says in Federalist 51 that all of what he is saying here sounds like a reflection on human nature, but he says, what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? Then he goes on to say, if men were angels, no government would be necessary. In other words, what he means is, if we didn't have a sinful nature, if we were purely good, we wouldn't need government. We could just let everybody do his own thing and everything would work out fine. But his implication is, we're not angels. Then he goes on to say, if angels were to govern men, no controls on government would be necessary. In other words, even if we are sinful, if we have a little group of what Plato called the wise, benevolent philosopher kings, we could just give them absolute power and trust that they'd wield it in everybody's best interest. But Madison is implying here that our rulers aren't angels either. They have the same sinful nature as everybody else. And so, he says, in framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and next, you must oblige that government to control itself. In other words, what you need to do is you need to make a government that's strong enough to preserve law and order. Anarchy just isn't going to work in a society of sinful people. But recognizing that those in charge have the same sinful nature as everybody else, you've got to put some careful checks and balances on the government to ensure that it doesn't abuse its power and become absolute and tyrannical.
Well, let's look at just two or three things, John, that come to mind for me as you talk about the Plato and his philosopher kings. We're looking certainly at this undeclared war in Iraq, which we have embarked upon since March of 2003. We have seen in the last few years some bits of legislation coming through Capitol Hill that many people would argue, including Jacob Hornberger of the Future Freedom Foundation, basically destroys the basic constitutional rights that we have always felt that we had in this country. I'm referring to the USA Patriot Acts 1 and 2. I'm talking about the National Security Agency's program of warrantless electronic surveillance. Also talking about the Military Commissions Act of 2006, those things, the war and these pieces of domestic legislation, and the whole issue of the Federal Reserve and what it's done to our currency. I'd like for you to discuss those in regard to Plato's philosopher kings vis-a-vis the Constitution. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with John Eidsmo. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you're mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasermedinc.com. That's www.lasermedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for a regular jog a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Back. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is John Eidsmo of Institute on the Constitution. Just wanted to mention a couple of housekeeping items before we continue this conversation with John. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network with your gifts by contacting us online at rbnlive.com or at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can also get new RBN t-shirts through rbnlive.com or notyranny.com, or again by giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. You can also get Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by contacting us directly at rbnlive.com or at 1-800-724-2719. John, before the commercial break, I was just talking a little bit about what you had mentioned about Plato and this notion of the philosopher kings. And according to our founding fathers, certainly they would have seen it to be a dangerous concept that political power, be an absolute political power, be in the hands of an elite, approximating Plato's notion of the philosopher kings. And as I look at the present situation of affairs in the United States, again, talking about this war in Iraq that was not declared constitutionally to be a war by the United States Congress, and as we look at some of these bits of legislation that have come to pass in the last 5 years involving domestic surveillance on American citizens and what many argue is a reduction in our constitutional rights, I'm referring to the USA Patriot Acts 1 and 2, the Military Commissions Act of 2006, the NSA's program of warrantless electronic surveillance, and then thirdly, this whole business of the Federal Reserve, and what I would argue, particularly with this North American Union that our mutual friend Howard Phillips keeps talking about, that would seem to imply that we're moving wholesale in a direction toward world government. Where does this leave the constitutionalist?
Well, Mark, you just asked some questions here that could fill up the rest of the program. But, you know, you talk about Plato to begin with. Maybe I'll just start there. And today,
sure.
Plato is regarded by many as such a wise philosopher that how could anyone question him? Well, Plato is directly contradicted by Aristotle in many ways. And personally, I can see a lot of merit in some of Plato's philosophical ideas, but his political views are abominable. And the Founding Fathers would certainly agree with me on that. Can I just read you a quick statement that John Adams wrote to Thomas Jefferson in 1814? He said, "I am very glad you have seriously read Plato, and still more rejoiced to find that your reflections upon him so perfectly harmonize with mine. Some 30 years ago, I took upon me the severe task of going through all his works." Now, it says something here about the degree of scholarship at that time, because I doubt that many went through all of Plato's works the way John Adams did. He says, "With the help of 2 Latin translations and 1 English and 1 French translation, and comparing some of the most remarkable passages with the Greek, I labored through the tedious toil. My disappointment was very great, my astonishment was greater, and my disgust was shocking. His laws and his republic, from which I expected most, disappointed me most. This idea that we could be governed by a group of wise, benevolent philosopher kings, if there are people without sin natures, that might work. But if you hold the view of human nature that the Bible teaches and that John Adams believed in, they wouldn't be benevolent very long, and they would quickly turn into tyrants and dictators." Now, moving on to see how to apply that to today, Abraham Lincoln had an interesting observation that government has only certain limited powers, but in time of crisis, there is an unlimited reserve of power that the president can call on as needed. The problem with that theory is that once you start calling on those reserved powers, when the crisis ends, you've already set a precedent, and very often when the emergency is declared, it is not undeclared later, and so the powers remain into effect. And you look at the war in Iraq today, and certainly this is an issue upon which conservatives and Christians can disagree, and we certainly are legitimately concerned about the danger of terrorism here, and the question I think needs to be asked, where would we be today if the strikes on Iraq had not taken place? The crisis has certainly been a lot more difficult to resolve than apparently those in the administration thought. I guess I thought at the time they must have an exit strategy in mind. Now I'm not convinced they ever did. But at any rate, certainly when you look to abuses on our liberties, these don't occur in times of normalcy or times of peace. They occur in times of crisis, at a time when the person who would like to restrict our liberties in some way and maybe like to limit them with the very best of intentions. I would like to believe that those who are promoting the Patriot Act as a means of combating terrorism sincerely believe this is necessary to preserve this nation, but they are setting a precedent that could destroy the very things that this nation was founded to preserve, our freedoms.
We will be back with John Eidsmo. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
KUBAN Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today in hour two of the show is John Eidsmo of Institute and the Constitution. Jeff in Vermont, you're on the line for John Eidsmo. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hello?
Yes, Jeff.
Hey, I didn't know I was on the line right now.
Hey, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I just think you guys are doing a great job, and I really appreciate your work. My question is, I studied the Constitution, I have for a while, and what scares me the most is the dual loyalty in our government, it seems like today, with AIPAC and JINSA and all these foreign powers that we have. And I'm pretty familiar with Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, where it says that nobody in Congress or the President or anybody in D.C. can receive any money or a moment, I think it said, from a king, queen, prince, or any foreign power. How come that part of the Constitution is not being enforced? And if I really think it should be enforced, and I think it would clean up a lot of this foreign aid or foreign lobbying power that's given to our public officials down there.
John, go ahead.
I can only say that I think it should be enforced, too. And why it is not being enforced, I suppose, because there are too many people in Washington that are the beneficiaries of this sort of largesse from foreign governments, that they're the ones who are going to resist any attempt to abolish it. I think it simply has to be pressure from the grassroots level. But I think he's correct. That's part of the problem. You know, you hit on something that I didn't really get to comment on, Mark, and that was this North American Union thing. And yes, I think this is a grave danger, particularly this idea of leasing out to certain foreign corporations the right to operate turnpikes going from Mexico up into Canada through the United States and so on. We're giving up control of our ports. We're giving up control of our borders, of our highways and so on. And this is going to lead to giving up our independence.
Yeah, I mean, to me, exactly. And one of the classic examples of this, in conjunction with what Jeff in Vermont was getting to the bottom of, with foreign ownership and foreign lobbies and foreign corporate entities, right here in San Antonio, Texas, the once vaunted Kelly Air Force Base, once a major logistical hub for the United States Air Force, is, I understand, being populated by the communist Chinese in anticipation of the sort of logistical support system that they will need for this Trans-Texas Highway that's a part of this North American Union that I guess will go from Lorenzo Cardenas, this port city in Mexico, all the way up through the I-35 corridor of Texas, on into Kansas City, Missouri, on into Duluth, Minnesota, ultimately into Canada. And it just seems to me that the caller in Vermont has really hit upon something, John, that I think is absolutely critical to the late-hour situation in which we find ourselves, and that is that we're talking now about not only an inverse relationship constitutionally between the federal government and the states, and between the states and the people, but a situation where we're moving headlong, as near as I can tell, into a full-blown world government. We've got the United Nations, we've got the World Bank and the Import-Export Bank. We're talking about NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization. We're talking about most favored nation trading status for communist China. And now we're talking about the Security and Prosperity Partnership deal, which would create this North American Union. And again, to me, I think we are slowly eclipsing into a world system where the United States will at some point cease to exist as a separate nation state. Is that your reading on this?
I'm concerned about the exact same things, the international associations, globalism and the like. Let me just mention one thing. Obviously, we have every reason to be concerned about militant Islam today. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world right now, major religion that is. It is second only to Christianity in number of adherents, and I suspect that its adherents on the whole are probably considerably more fervent than a lot of Christians are. It is the either majority or plurality religion in 53 nations around the world today, and that is definitely a danger, but I think there is an equal danger or possibly a greater danger, and that is what you've just mentioned here, China. That if you study Chinese philosophy at all, as you see it in Buddhism and Confucianism and Taoism, they've got a sense of time. And they would like nothing better than to see a major war between Islam and the West, and they can sit back and watch it happen and then clean up the mess afterward and take over. So I think that there is a real danger.
So you think that in terms of both an ideological as well as a clear military and economic threat, that what you may be seeing is a strategy on the part of the communist Chinese to simply inflame the situation between the Western powers and the Islamic powers, and to allow this tragic so-called war of civilizations to take place, and then the real winner, subsequent to the kind of carnage that would be experienced, would be communist China. Is that what you're saying, John?
That is exactly what I am saying, and I emphasize,
yes,
too, in no way am I denying that Islam is a threat. It is a threat, but I think that the communist Chinese are an equal or greater threat.
John, what do you see is the threat of Zionist Israel? In other words, I've had callers to this program who, I think of Dr. E. Michael Jones, for example, who is the editor of something called Culture Wars, who have argued with a lot of documentation that many of the Zionist-oriented, Jewish-oriented organizations in the United States have been in the forefront of promoting a political and cultural agenda that would seem to be the antithesis to yours. Do you see the Zionist and Jewish lobbies in the United States as being another necessary component to this mix?
To be honest with you, I have not studied Zionism to the extent that I'm sure you have, and so I'm not able to give you a good answer on that. I can certainly say that the Jewish influence in the United States in the last several generations has generally been a very liberal influence, and I think that in many cases they have failed to see the danger that they face with secularism. There are several very fine conservative Jewish speakers and writers and so on. One, whose name is escaping me just a minute, coming out of Arkansas, commented on a concern that his own Jewish people had about Southern Baptists trying to evangelize them. And wish I could remember his name. I can't think of it at the moment. It'll come to me as soon as we get off the air. But anyway, he wrote in his column that I am much less worried about Southern Baptists trying to save my children's souls than about secular humanists trying to convince my children they have no souls to save.
Yes, and boy, I tell you, that is certainly timely in regard to the, you know, what many people see, not simply is the military issues and the economic issues the threat to the United States in terms of being any semblance of the nation that it once was, but quite clearly the cultural cancer that has emanated from within, that when we start talking about corporate news media and state-run educational institutions, the control of major publishing houses by ideologies that certainly are hostile to those of the founding fathers, I see all of this coalescing into something where we're moving into a whole new era of uncharted waters, both in terms of external enemies as well as internal ones. Roger in Pennsylvania, you're on the line for John Eitzma. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. And Dr. Eitzma, I was begging that you'd find more time to do talk radio, particularly here on Republic. I've been trying for years, and which is probably the last of, or least of, half a dozen or so questions I've been saving up. If you could care to have any, I think, better words on, in Florida, the debacle of the dangling chads, please point out any flaws in my thinking. And it's not like two wrongs make a right, or that the outcome would have been any better, or any pragmatist argument, but rather merely that, am I correct that Florida Supremes went too far one way, and then, and I forget exactly the argument, and then the federal Supremes with equal protection, etc., went too far, but that the net outcome, one might say, worked out in the wash. So that the notion that Bush stole the election, if I hear that one more time, unless you please correct me, God bless.
Well, I don't think either side was really trying to steal the election there, and maybe I'm being too idealistic, but I think that probably the Democrats in Florida were genuinely concerned that people who had wanted to vote for them didn't have their votes counted, and I think Republicans are really equally concerned that illegitimate votes were being cast. I think that the caller does have it absolutely correct, though, when he says that the Florida Supreme Court went way beyond what they should. They attempted to, I mean, it was really, by the U.S. Constitution, the responsibility of the state legislature to direct how its votes in the Electoral College were going to be cast, and the Florida Supreme Court, which was, I believe, all Democrat at that time, or at least an overwhelming majority Democrat then, Florida Supreme Court didn't just interpret what the legislature said, they just practically rewrote the statute and had no authority to do that, and I think the Supreme Court of the United States, by a 5-4 vote in Bush versus Gore, did correctly say that the Florida Supreme Court had gone too far that way.
John, you made a statement at the beginning of the show, or at the beginning of your segment on the show, that people who take the Constitution of this country seriously should not be voting for people who don't take it seriously, or, and who flat ignore it, and who in many cases are, I would argue, diametrically opposed to it and opposed to its implementation. As far as the present political scene in the United States, if we take at face value the notion that we should not vote for people who disregard the Constitution, aren't we pretty much in a mode similar to what I hear the folks at LouRockwell.com arguing for, where we should perhaps even boycott an election? I know Thomas DiLorenzo, the author of The Real Lincoln, was on this show weeks ago, and he said he'd like to see a presidential election where no more than 10% of the populace even showed up. What's your take on that?
Well, I think the more you try to get people to boycott an election, the more it's just going to let the other side take it over. And so I don't think that's a feasible alternative. And there might be cases where you want to leave a particular race blank. And even there, if your state allows write-ins, I would encourage you to use a write-in. Sometimes you might have to argue with the people at the polls about whether or not the law allows it. Sometimes it's too inconvenient for them. But sometimes, you know, I believe in absolute truth, but the way we play it out sometimes, it is a matter of degree, and sometimes it may be a matter of one party having a candidate who isn't perfect but is better than the other, and you might have to make a choice there, or you may decide in some cases that the candidates of both major parties are so far removed from the Constitution that we need to vote for the Conservative Party or Constitution Party candidate, or possibly the Libertarian candidate, or another third party that we know isn't going to win. But I look at it this way. One thing that the Constitution Party does is they provide an alternative so that the Republican leadership should be made aware that they can't take conservative voters for granted. That, you know, if they're trying to appeal to the center and they know that, well, we've got the right because they don't have anywhere else to go, then naturally they're going to gravitate more and more liberal to try to capture that center, and they'll give up the very base of what it is they are supposed to be doing in government. And so in a circumstance like that, if the Constitution Party is there and says, you go too far afield and we're going to run a candidate against you, then that's a good way of reminding the Republicans that you can't take your conservative base for granted.
Do you think in terms of the Constitution Party, and I guess here we're delving into some degree of political analysis, contemporary political analysis, do you think that the Constitution Party, which clearly has a very fine platform, if anyone, you know, should choose to take a look at it, it has a lot of really good stuff in it, things that I suspect someone like John Eisenman would be talking about around the country. Do you think the Constitution Party will ultimately prove to be a vehicle or the vehicle for people concerned about these issues to begin to gravitate toward in elections, or do you think it's yet something else out there that's not come to pass yet?
If there is going to be a third party for conservatives, I think the Constitution Party has the best chance of filling that role. Now, let me just mention one thing, Mark, about the two-party system. You know, it's not set out anywhere in the Constitution. In fact, sometimes I joke with my students that a lot of people in this country think the two-party system consists of one on Friday night and one on Saturday night, but there's nothing in the Constitution that says that there are political parties or that the political parties are limited to two, but it works well in this sense, that when you go to the Electoral College, if nobody gets a majority in the Electoral College, then we don't take a second ballot, it goes to Congress. Now, if we had a multi-party system, then it might be a regular thing that nobody gets a majority in the Electoral College. Elections then would regularly be settled in Congress, and I think that has some rather dangerous implications for the separation of powers, the idea that the executive branch will be determined by the legislative branch. So there is something to be said for the two-party system. It's been difficult for third parties to get started, and usually, you know, it really, outside of the Democratic Party, which was really started under Jefferson, and at that time stood for almost the exact opposite of what it stands for today, But other than that, you have the Whig Party starting up later. You have the Republican Party then starting up. But these parties, of course, had their starts, but usually they start right after the collapse of another party. The Whigs after the collapse of the Federalists, and the Republicans after the collapse of the Whigs. In the absence of such a collapse, pretty difficult for another party to get started in the sense to really be a major party. But it could be that the Republican Party is in danger of collapse, and I would say unless they present a feasible alternative to the Democrats, they will collapse, because there will be no reason to support them.
Well, you know, I would argue that we've already reached that point. I mean, in my judgment, when I look at the performance of the Republican Party just since the so-called 94 Gingrich Revolution, the so-called Contract with America crowd, and then the fact that since 2000 we've had a Republican chief executive working in tandem with that Republican Congress, we're now looking at an unconstitutional, undeclared war on Iraq. We're looking at the largest trade and budget deficits in American history. We're looking toward ongoing cultural declension. We're looking clearly toward a full-blown move toward world government. Seems to me that there's got to be some alternative to the direction that the Republicans have taken us, as well as the Democrats. We will be back with John Eidsmo of Institute on the Constitution and Mark Dankos America Returns on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
We're back. This is Mark Ancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is John Eidsmo of Institute on the Constitution. John, in these final minutes of the show, I wanted you to give us your contact information and tell people how they can obtain the Institute on the Constitution in terms of the CDs or DVDs or VHS tapes, and give us an idea as to what you think you're going to be up to in the next 6 months to a year.
Well, there's a lot of things going on, but best way to reach me would be through my email address, and that is Eidsmo, E-I-D-S-M-O-E. I sometimes spell that out. E is an electric, I, idiot, D, dumb, S, simple, M, moron, O, oxymoron, E, electrocardiogram, Eidsmo, J-A, at juno.com. And I can give you a list of publications and speaking engagements and seminars and things like that. One thing I'm working a lot with, Mark, that I think would really be good for your people to know about, and that is what's called the State Guard. And I know that within the Patriot Movement, we are people who want to be patriotic, want to be loyal, law-abiding citizens, and yet we see so many things going on that are undermining what our founding fathers actually stood for. The State Guard, about half the states have them, and they are established as a division with the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard. Some states are called the State Defense Force. And unlike the Army and Air Guard, they cannot be called a federal service by federal law. Federal law allows this, and their primary function is to take over the functions of the Guard if the Guard is called out of state. If your audience wants to know more about this, I think it is very consistent with our pro-military patriotic philosophy, but also with our state's rights philosophy. And what I would suggest you do is just look to the State Guard Association of the United States and just go to their website, SGAUS, State Guard Association of the United States, SGAUS.org, and find out whether your state has one. Texas has one of the most active in the nation, and Alabama, of course, Georgia, one of the most active in the broader sense of the nation is Puerto Rico, by the way. But anyway, that I think is a very good alternative for constitutionalists.
Yes, and in terms of the Institute and the Constitution, I don't know if you have this figure in front of you, John, or if you'd be just giving us an educated guess on this. How many folks in the United States do you think have gone through the Institute's basic series already?
Well, I would venture a guess, maybe somewhere up to 100,000. We've sold probably, I suppose, I don't know, 10, 12, 15,000 of them. I know they've been shown, many of these have been shown to classes and groups and so on, so that'll just be a rough guess. I might just mention, too, that the DVD set sells for $60, and that includes the study guide, it includes postage. The CD and the audio cassette are $35, and we're kind of phasing out the videos, so the videos used to be $50, but we're selling those at $35 now, too.
John Eidsmo, I want to thank you, sir, for being on this show and discussing with us your Institute and the Constitution. This is Mark Dankoff's America signing off today from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. See you tomorrow. God bless.
Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.